Hey, just what you drinking there, buddy?
Cognac.
Oh, nice.
I'm on
I
the
still
soft
have
stuff.
1:30 p.m. I cannot do
that. You can see the
that.
Americans looking on like, oh, it's not 5 o'clock yet. It's way
but
past
I'll
five
get
o'clock here,
something.
though, guys. So.
Excuse me, it's 22:00.
No.
Oh. I can do my cognac.
Exactly, man.
Shut up.
Hey, I ain't judging you, buddy. I think I'm three deep already, you know, and this is work.
You just wrote to me, let me in.
Thank you.
You missed the dual device.
Dual device.
Yeah, all right, me too.
Just to mess up my split track recording. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, well.
Purposely so.
Awesome. Right, well, let's get straight to it, guys. This is Nevermind the Shitcoins. Welcome to episode 4 of series 2. This is the Crypto Quiz Podcast with more geniuses than a metaverse made of Apple stores. So I'm your host, Benjamin Bateman, and keeping scores in the background behind me in stereo vision, we have the lovely Dion Amy Edwards. Say hello, Dion.
Hi, Dion.
There you go.
Hi, everyone.
In stereo. And tonight, super special subject matter experts, super special guest people are. And should we go around in a circle and introduce ourselves? With a very cool screen name, we have XD7H4A, a distant relative of Elon Musk, maybe? No, Todd.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name's Todd. My background is in finance and technology. I also like to dabble in farming and ranching. I'd say about 6 years ago, I started getting into, away from traditional finance into like cyber coins, Web3. Then in about 2017, I started a blockchain project called Petrichor. And in 2019, we launched that as a proof of stake smart contract platform. Since then, we've just been working on blockchain projects for Petrichor. Right now, we're really excited about Hypercore, which is our layer 2 network, which is specifically being built for blockchain games and NFTs. And I'm hoping today that I get at least one answer right. That would be great.
Well, one answer is a lot better than some people have done in the past, but you know.
Hey, me, for example.
Yeah, great to meet you, Todd. And should we go around in a circle or circularly clockwise via my Zoom screen? Anyway, Eugene, do you want to introduce yourself? Of course, we know who you are by now, though. But
Let's say I am Eugene Morozov. This is how to get in touch with me, should you ever want to. Basically, I'm an ex-finance and accounting specialist. I'm a CPA in the U.S. and I have a master's of accounting science degree. But more recently, I've been heavily involved with the Freeton community. And happy to report that I, for example, founded a Freeton Academy with some other people, something we're very proud of. And of course, Ben here, he knows a few other things about me as well. I'm very pleased to be on this podcast. Laughter is the best.
Well, we are over the moon to have you here, buddy. The show just wouldn't work without you, to be honest, mate. Mitya Goroshevsky, the man, the myth, the legend. Would you like to give yourself
a quick
intro? I don't
need to pronounce my last name ever, you know. Just
is that because I can't pronounce your last name? Or
it's not necessary, just...
I like your last name, though. I mean, I have to give myself a phony last name to sound interesting, so...
Yeah. And every time you say his last name, shit is floating around my room. Stop it.
Exactly. That's why I
summoning.
Just don't do that, man.
Well, Mitya.
I gave up on his last name a long time ago. Whenever I speak about Freeton, I say, Mitya said that, or guess what Mitya is doing the other day.
I would start calling you Mitya G, but that makes it sound like I'm cooler than I am. So I won't do that.
Like I'm some ripper or something. Lightly turned religious and just, you know, with a two-hour album of the gospel. It's a gospel song.
A blockchain gospel rap album. I like it.
Right.
Yes,
you must, if you must, you can call him a Mitya CA, Mitya Chief Architect.
There we go. Well, that's as good as intro as any. Give us a little bit about yourself, though, Mitya, for those who don't know who you are.
I'm CTO of Tone Labs, and like the probably the architect of Freeton Network blockchain, and I do this for like whole day, except when I want to rest. And when I want to rest, I do KWTC podcast, which you know, basically. That's it.
Right, no rest for the wicked, as they say. And speaking of the wicked, the wise and the wicked, Edmund McCormack, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, can I just say the format of these intros has dramatically changed in the last few weeks that I joined?
I thought I'd buy myself some drinking
time. I even don't want
time.
To ask
That's
what did
is.
You do last time.
You could ask Eugene. It's published across worldwide papers. Ed McCormack,
Ask me.
I will refrain from doing that.
Ed McCormack, I founded an investment advisory firm focused on crypto called DeChained here in the US. I also am a managing partner of a digital asset fund called DeChained Capital, because I'm not original. before then, 15 years in tech, going many of the top large companies, won't name them, but that's it. I won't. I'm a type B plus blood type, if you guys want to know.
Just in case. Awesome, man. Awesome. There we go. Well, there we go. That's everything but your shoe size and your underwear. Preferences is the word I couldn't find then. God,
no, we're 24 minutes.
We don't know his GPS coordinates.
Well, I know you two were kicking off a bit of a bromance last time you were on the show, but I'm sure if you ask very nicely, Eugene, Edmund wouldn't mind. So tonight, let's divide the teams up. I'm going to stick Eugene with Todd, our new player this evening, buddy. Eugene's our old hat. Yeah, you're in good hands there, my friend. And tonight I'm going to dub you two the Backstreet Bored Apes. We're going with a boys' night boy band theme tonight, so the Backstreet Bored Apes. And Edmund and Mitya, you guys can be NSYNC, chronize your nodes. Hey, see what I did there? Just see what I did
Very
there?
Very smart.
Oh, thank you, Mitya. Oh, when Mitya says it's smart, that must be a clever joke.
Synchronize.
Yeah, N-synchronize. Yeah, yeah. Another Justin Timberlake reference as well. We love Justin here. Right. Round one, guys. So no crypto, no news now. We thought we'd call this with lots of different random variations of the word no. This week, ish. So basically, this round is just all about the weird and wonderful happenings in cryptocurrency. They're kind of the offbeat stuff, you know. It's not always the biggest stories, like I say, just the ones that caught my eye, basically. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. And in your teams, if you could, you know, give it your kind of college best and see what you can come up with regards to an answer. Tell me what the story's about. Yeah, it's a quiz. That's how games work. Right. So question one. BTC, BTF, D, 2BF, WTF, ETF. And yes, that's your whole question.
Exchange traded funds.
Ooh, on the right lines, yeah. So there's a specific story in there.
The ETF of the Bitcoin ETF. Well, what else? The all-time high in all in one sentence. I don't know.
Right, I'll read you those tickers once again. So you've got BTC, BTFD, 2, the number 2, BTF, WTF, ETF.
I never something about the Bitcoin price pumping in relation to the Bitcoin ETF being approved.
So not really about the price pump. Think about the specific ETFs. There were quite a few of them launched, weren't there?
Well, there are several launched. I didn't follow that. I mean, I thought only one.
Maybe they have a common investor.
There are several which didn't approve yet, weren't approved yet, right? No?
I'll give you that. I mean, you basically got most of the answer there, guys. I'm just being a bit pedantic, to be fair, you know. So basically, as you said, Bitcoin went public this week with several ETFs launching. So you had one of them, which was called BITO. You had good old Barry Shilbert, who was going to launch his under just the name BTC, but was kind of bullied out of that and went for GBTC in the end. And my favorite of the tickers, there was one planned to launch, which was going to call themselves BTFD, as in buy the fucking dip. But they kind of lost their bottle at the last minute for some reason and just called it BTF, which seems a bit backwards, really. I mean, you think it would be BT. Yeah. Just call it buy the fucking. Why not?
what the fuck?
Yeah, that would have been a better name, I think. What the fuck, Bitcoin? Right.
With all those letters thrown around. You've got what points?
That's your job. God, I don't know. Just give them all a point. They're lovely people.
We gave the right answers.
Everyone deserves a point just for being smiley. Right, and because Dion's going to get me another drink in a minute, aren't you? Hey, she's lovely, she is. Right, question two, guys. So we've got a few of these to get through, actually. It's been a big news week. What have the Bank of America been telling people they should buy instead of crypto this week?
Is anyone catching this? What Eugene is eating a gallon of Nutella right now?
Maybe that's my answer. Buy Nutella.
Unfortunately not, although it would probably be good advice. I know, you know, Nutella, it's recession-proof, isn't it? Along with Marmite. Marmite and Nutella stocks. I don't do financial advice, but.
So, can you repeat the question? So, Bank of America. Course.
That Nutella is very distracting and very erotic, Eugene. I'm sorry, buddy. I may have to ask you to put this away. We're not quite past the watershed yet. I'm joking. Yeah, you munch away to your heart's desire. The question again, what have the Bank of America been telling people that they should buy instead of cryptocurrency this week?
I can only guess.
Yeah, well, nice holiday.
Gold?
No, on the wrong dollar. Lines. I'll give you a close.
Tesla.
Stock. I'll give you half a point for Tesla stocks. Yes. Anything more on that?
Stock technology. Bank of America stock.
I didn't check the full list for their stocks. They're probably telling people to buy them though.
Uh huh.
You're really close. You're so red hot with Tesla stocks.
Well, it's like Amazon or whatever. I don't know.
Technology fund.
There's an index that has the companies that have a lot of exposure to Bitcoin. Try to think what the name of that is.
Boom. It's pretty much it, but it's not actually the index. Basically, Bank of America. Yeah, so with all these ETFs and stuff, they're trying to bury news. They put out 43 crypto-related stocks that they think people should be looking at. It may be an index, sorry, I'm misnomering there. Rather than invest in crypto, invest in companies which have exposure to crypto.
Advice.
I don't want to give financial advice, but it seems very... crazy, but as well as the obvious names on the list, the reason this kind of caught my eye is there was a few random ass companies in this list that you just wouldn't expect, to be fair. I'll give you half a point or another point, or Dion will give you some points if you can give me any of
Galaxy Digital, MicroStrategy, Galaxy Digital.
Never mind the shit coins podcast.
Unfortunately, we're not publicly traded yet.
AMD microprocessors, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you had processors.
Nvidia.
Yeah, I mean, they're all good shouts. All right, some of the more random ones, though. And again, like I say, not financial advice, guys, unless it's from the Bank of America. Warner Music, because they're planning to bring NFT avatars to life with their musicians. So, you know, tedious link number one. An unregulated nuclear operations energy manufacturer, because Bitcoin people like clean energy. That was it. That's the whole explanation for that link. And this was my favorite, Visa, because, you know, if you think you should invest in crypto, don't invest in crypto, invest in Visa.
Yeah, because now you can buy Bitcoin with Visa. I think that's the point.
Well, they're rolling out all these banking APIs. Visa's actually doing a very good job.
Mm.
And exchanges, same exchanges, they're trying to come up with APIs now so people can, you know, automate, standardize.
And there's no reason why Visa can't settle transactions for cryptocurrencies as well. They settle transactions in over 200 different currencies. So I don't think they're going to want to lose out on this opportunity.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is why these guys already, are the subject matter.
They already are. Yeah. Like, I'm using CryptoCard. That's what they do. They settle my transactions.
Yeah, so they partnered with Circle for USDC. Mm. USDC is their coin for settlements.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them, I guess, Visa. Well done. Well done, guys. Unfortunately, in the UK, they're cracking down on everything like fucking bastards. So, anyway, question three, guys. How low is erroneously low? Okay? And if for those of you who listened to episode one, it's a callback. But how low is erroneously low? And an extra clue in what you might call the bargain of the day.
2,400 for Bitcoin.
Free.
24. Go on, Edmund. Can you give a bit of reasoning to your figure there? You might have a slightly different figure than I do.
It might have been 20. I think it went to 2,400, but it may have been 2,800. It was a flash crash on Binance for Bitcoin.
Well, exactly. The story I had was it was Binance US. So, hey, Americans catching a break for once. That's quite nice, isn't it? You know, but yeah, it flash crashed as low as 2,800. That I'd take Edmund's word over mine, to be honest. I had $8,000 on here. But just goes to show, set your buy orders low and your hopes high, people. One day you might get lucky. I think someone got some Bitcoin at $8,000 today, this afternoon. Wouldn't that have been a beautiful day, eh? Right. Question four. We're going to America again. Why should US crypto fans consider looking forward instead of left or right?
That's a good one.
Is that someone buzzing in or has someone got a phone call coming?
that's a brain's turning sound.
Meech is getting electrical signals from the blockchain.
I'm getting the signals from my dog, actually. they're quite loud.
Hey, we should get him to guest host next week.
Right.
I don't know.
Bad advice.
It's a tough one. I'm struggling here. Looking forward instead of looking left or right.
Give you a clue. It's a very political one, this.
Sure.
Forward,
left and right's referring to politics.
So forward means green, therefore. Clean, green.
Couldn't go, yeah. I mean, kind of a different angle. Again, I mean, we're thinking crypto.
Looking crypto? Yeah. Adopting crypto as a way of look forward instead of left and right. Yeah.
When you say left or right, like Democrats and Republicans.
Doesn't matter, but if you choose a politician who will support crypto, it doesn't matter if he's left or right, you should choose him or something or her like that. No?
Is that what's happening in Israel?
Well,
what's the direction?
Dimension. Here.
We've suddenly got very highbrow with Israeli politics on the show.
You don't want to go there. I promise you. Like, this is the last place on earth you want to go. It's Israeli politics. Believe me.
I have no idea, Ben. What is the answer on this?
Oh, well, I mean, you guys were very close. I was hoping someone might have a name for me. But yes, a new savior has arrived, my transatlantic friends. All hail new president Andrew Yang. Don't take this seriously. You know, I don't know anything about politics. The guy could be the next Hitler for all I know. All I know is he likes Bitcoin. But like I say, Hitler was a vegetarian, so you know, you can't judge people by one single quality.
I remember I watched an interview with him when he was on the poll, right, on the ballot. Hmm. He gave up his process very, very soon after he started.
Possibly. It's very shallow surface level knowledge. I apologize. Basically his campaign slogan when he's drifted towards cryptocurrency and trying to impress all the Bitcoin fans is look forward, not left or right, which It's quite a pretty long slogan.
That's nice.
Yeah, long. And he was also also campaigning on math is real, and so you know there's quite a bit of that in crypto.
You just have to give Andrew Yang a point.
Say what again, Eugene? Sorry, bud.
I think our judge has to give Andrew Yang a point.
Yes, Andrew Yang
doing that.
You've got a point, good sir. Your first ever Never Mind the Shitcoins point to you, Andrew Yank. There you go.
Yes.
Good shout, Eugene. Right, and our final one in our news round this week. Which shark can't decide which way to swim?
Killer whale shark.
Oh, well, yeah, you're guessing my little segue there, Eugene. But no, not actually the killer whale sharks yet. We've got a direction, but we'll get to that in a minute. So think sharks, think cryptocurrency.
Shark Tank.
Yeah. I'm going to say Mark Cuban.
Boom.
Shark Tank.
Yeah. So can you tell me why I would say Mark Cuban can't decide which way to swim while I load up some YouTube clips?
Because they don't have the advantages of the wonderful network that we do.
There you go. Well, I suppose that's as good as an answer as any. But basically, good. Yeah, I mean, he's been all over the news this week. But if you go back a short 2-3 weeks, we can find Mr. Cuban saying this at the end of September. Well, let me know if my sound's actually sharing.
ICO is the new IPO. Here's the thing about crypto. Particularly Bitcoin. Bitcoin is worth what somebody will pay for it. Did you ever see someone who collected baseball cards and they were really, really, really proud of their baseball cards because they kept on saying they were going to go up in price?
Yeah, and then if we skip forward just a little tiny bit, what are we going? Well, best part of 3 weeks.
Cryptocurrency is just an asset to invest in. You know, Bitcoin is kind of like a digital version of gold. Ethereum is a digital version of a currency. And then you got Dogecoin, which is just fun. But the weird part about it, it went from being a cryptocurrency joke.
Yeah, that'll do. But yeah, I mean, essentially, he's flip-flopped like a little tuna fish, bless him, and gone with public opinion. Lots of things in the week. Yeah, apparently 60% of his portfolio is in Bitcoin.
Unlike Jamie Dimon, right?
What is guy's name? Sorry.
Jamie Dimon.
That guy's Mr. Mark Cuban, meet ya. He's effectively your killer whale counterpart, but like I say, we'll come to that. Right after, we get some scores from our lovely adjudicator over there. Dion, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, stab in the dark on this. We have Eugene and Todd on 3 and Mitra and Edmund on 5.5.
I just want to say
somehow we're doing great. But remember that last time, you know, I told you, doesn't matter what happens in the first round, we will always lose.
I like that you gave Dion a light and a camera. Previous productions looked like a journalist holding a newspaper in front of a black flag. It was terrible.
Yeah, we thought we might actually pay her with candles this week, bless her. But yeah, I mean, that's some very good maths considering I thought there were 5 questions there. But hey, who cares? She makes the rules. Our next round is called, and I like this name, Airdrop It Like It's Hot. Okay. She likes this name, so we had to choose this name. So it might seem like this show is a bit of a random mess of tangled thoughts that I just kind of slapped together at the last minute. And if you thought that, you'd kind of be half right. But sometimes, just very occasionally, the muse twinkles down on me. And ideas actually tie together into some sort of formulative, hey, then this is a thing kind of idea. So the next round follows on from the whole Shark Tank theme of that very last question and leads nicely into another quick mention for the brand new Killer Whale podcast, which is launching on the 30th of October with a live whale drop event. Ooh, whale drop.
Don't miss that.
Yeah, what's a whale drop, you ask? Well, let's ask the host of the show. I mean, I'm co-hosting, but let's ask the genius behind the operation. Mitra, what's a whale drop?
A lot of superlatives, yeah. I mean, well, it's like it's a fun way to distribute tokens. Like and it's never been done before. And I think like it goes like that. There was a 60-minute show, and every minute the like you get some airdrop. And by the way, you use Surf and you use Dbot for that. And there is a button on Dbot. You just press it all the time, basically. And you get some tokens dropped on you. And then you can also like put tons in staking and farm the tokens later. And the conversion rate goes up linearly all the time, while the allowance of tokens go up exponentially all the time. It doesn't really matter for you, but it's just a fun way. And by the end of that, on 60th minutes, it's all stop and no tokens are produced anymore ever, like except for farming. So like this is basically the supply. The total supply of token is decided during the 60 minute of podcast, and by the last minute, you know the total supply.
Exactly.
And it totally depends on the people who comes to the show and kind of support the token. And by the way, nobody buying anything, right? It's not an ICO or any sale. Like, the tons that you put in, they just staked for a period of time and you choose which period of time and then you get them back. But that decides, like, this is the liquidity pool you create on that moment. And by the amount of tons you lock, there will be an amount of tokens and, that will be ever produced, like the total supply. That's it.
Awesome. So yeah, and
you guys thought that your children spend too much time on Facebook. Wait until this launches.
Well, again, I mean, like we say, not financial advice or anything, but it's an airdrop. You can come along. You can. It's your chance to like. Have you ever watched Dragon's Den or Shark Tank and thought, I wish I was the one fronting, looking at these projects, deciding what to go with. This is your chance for that. And it's got me, if you like me. If not, Meech is there, so that'll make up for it. And we've got the lovely and Anastasia joining us as well. In unison there, Meech. Yes. We're aligning. Right, our next round anyway is based on the idea of airdrops and whale drops. I've got some figures from some pretty big airdrops, which have been rather lucrative for those who've managed to claim them over the years. All I want our beautiful guests out there to do, if you can for me, please, is agree on a number between you guys in the biggest shitcoin ever denomination, US dollars. For how much the airdrop would have been worth at its peak. Okay, whoever's closest gets the point. So, our first one, keeping it fishy, along with the sharks and the whales, we've got Pearl, P-R-L.
76,812.
That is very specific.
I'm going Price is Right, one.
Alrighty. Teammates, do you agree with your teammates?
And Eugene's answer sounded pretty good. I mean, I would say maybe up to 500,000, so somewhere between 76 and 500.
Oh, God. You guys like the sound of these pearls. Meet you. What is that, buddy?
The whole airdrop in dollar terms?
Yes, in shitcoin dollar terms.
In shitcoin dollar terms. Well, what does that mean?
Well, the US dollar has no fixed supply. It is printed by a bunch of shady guys.
Oh, you mean the US shit coin?
Yeah, I was trying to be clever, Meech. Okay, I'm sorry.
I understand. That's fine. We are on the same page, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know, 1 million?
Well, Edmund and Meech are varying wildly there with $1 and 1 million. A nice synchronized team trainer for there, guys. Right, so I think that averages you guys at 500,000, and Eugene and Todd said 78,000. You're very optimistic about these fishy pearls. 11K was this one, which isn't anything to be sniffed at. I mean, you fill in a Google form, you get 11 grand. Beats working for a living, doesn't it?
We were closer with Todd.
Yeah, you were indeed. 78 is a lot closer than 500,000. I'm going to look at you, Meech, with a little bit of shame and go, yeah, you kind of spoiled it for Edmund there, buddy. Let's try a little bit harder this time, all right? Well, attention. Let's really go for it.
It's the take. Like, the shitcoin Tezos, for example, right? The largest ICO to date. This is, like, complete...
I think Meech would rather have Kathy Bates beat his feet. than deal with this airdrop shit.
That's a good one.
Oh my god.
Right. And if you've not seen the movie Misery, that's a boomer reference.
Right.
Oh god, that movie scarred me as a kid. My mum made me watch it when I was about 8 years old. I was like, Jesus.
Let's put Benny Hill music on that one too, Ben. That would be great.
I was so glad you liked it when I did that. I was like, I have to do this just for you, buddy, with the Benny Hill music. But yeah, right, go on then. Let's get through this airdrop shit so Meacher can play and go on to the exciting stuff. Right, everyone should have a better idea of this one. Uniswap. How much would you have got if you'd have claimed with one wallet, because obviously multiple wallets, you can do it with these type of decentralized ones, but one wallet, how much would you have got?
Well, in terms of airdrop of Uniswap, I mean, that's a lot, because like Uniswap went obviously meteoric. So, you mean the number of tokens they dropped as a airdrop on?
Yeah, as an individual had received that airdrop and you managed to sell it right at the top.
Don't remember the numbers, but I think it's north of $1 million probably.
Yeah, you like saying $1 million.
Yeah, it's just a day like that today. It's like one. It's like one and zeros, you know. And it's easy for me
thinking in binary. Go on then. Edmund, do you want to try and average his guess out, or at least take charge for this? I'll put your guess ahead of his this time.
Take out 1 0 and we will be fine, Edmund.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say 100,000.
Exactly.
Right. Right, we'll go for 100K then on this one. And Eugene, Todd.
101,910.
Ooh. Go on. I mean, I suppose higher or lower then, Todd. Do you agree with Eugene? Do you think if you'd have cashed out the Uniswap airdrop at its very peak, at its all-time high, you'd have got more or less than 100,000?
So you said that was per wallet. So everyone used the Uniswap network during the test network phase, got an airdrop when it went to the mainnet, and they received a certain fixed amount of tokens for each wallet that had connected to Uniswap.
Exactly.
And so the question is, what was that worth at the time the mainnet went live when you could first start trading it?
No, what was that worth at the coin's all-time high? So if you'd have been...
Total market cap, but just for the one wallet.
Just for one airdrop. So again, I mean, I was one of the lucky, because I tried Uniswap once. I made a failed transaction and then logged back on a month later and was fortunate enough to have received that airdrop.
I think it was more like 50,000, something like that.
Alrighty, so Eugene, so, do you want to sway to Todd? Do you want to go lower, or I like consensus?
I don't know. No. Let's go contrarian here. So if these guys say more than 50 or more, I'll say we'll go 49,999 or less.
Again, you guys, you work in very big figures, but $18,000 effectively it would have been worth at its peak.
So 49,999 is the closest
you
to
did,
that.
You did with the lower one. I think I need to rethink these higher or lower. What I need you guys to do next time is get bits of paper, I think, and then we'll just randomly hold them up. But yeah, come on, let's get this last one out of the way. Again, 18 grand though. I mean, bloody hell, it's better than the stimulus check at the time for a lot of people. And it literally came on pretty much the same day. So yeah, right, next one is very recent and a little bit harder to do the math on, so it's a bit of an approximation, my figure, but DYDX.
Yeah, what do you mean? Oh, the airdrop
Starkware,
DYDX
project.
Yeah.
So it was essentially it's like
it's
a decentralized
a
futures
it's
market
a separate project with the Starkware as a backbone. Yeah,
I missed this one, to be honest. So again, I'm
gonna go 25k.
25. We've got one guess of 25.
10k.
$1.
Alrighty, we're going back
to
doing
play your cards. They're doing great, I think.
Yeah,
I'm going much lower, like Eugene. I think we're on the same page. Maybe closer to 1,500, somewhere in there.
Alrighty, Meacher, do you want to stick with Edmund's answer?
I said 10,000.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the one time you give me a sensible answer and I was off thinking about something else. Sorry, buddy. Those guys going low.
Just one with the zeros, remember.
Yeah, Edmund, Meacher, you take the point that time. This was huge, this one. And, I struggled to get out of bed the next day knowing I'd missed it. The higher tier airdrop for some people, it was kind of based on trading activity, but you could just trade back and forth essentially with very little fees, was $178,666.18 is the figure I have here. But unfortunately, and this was the real crux, if you were in the US, US investors were, and I quote, protected by the SEC from receiving this airdrop.
So I win. I win. $1 is closer to zero.
Well, if you're in
America, it's only for US investors.
That's true. So it's zero or that amount.
Don't get greedy. Yeah. Jane, don't get greedy.
Hey, you're winning. Come on.
God, I couldn't believe the gall in that wording, though. That US investors were protected from receiving an airdrop. Fucking what? Protect me from receiving $200,000, you bastards.
So that's why they're posting all those stats about hundreds of thousands of transactions per day. It's because they're encouraging wash trading to get people to get their tokens.
Yeah, I mean, what's trading? It's a problem everywhere, isn't it? That kind of thing. I don't know.
There'd never be fake trading in crypto. That never happens. Oh,
no. And thank God for Janet Yellen. Thank God for Janet Yellen, who looks like that grandma who only comes in and tells you terrible news. She just walks into your dinner party and is like, stage four. And you're like, holy shit. Like,
let's go get some money.
Oh, that was so dark. I'm going to have a little giggle about that one just before bed again, buddy. I like that. Can we have some scores, please? Even though I think, to be honest, everyone deserves points and I should lose points. That round sucked.
I think Meacher and Edmund got 6.5 and Eugene and Todd got 5.
You see, right. They're getting close, Edmund.
Way to go, Todd.
This is what you get when you don't pay attention, Meacher.
Even if I pay close attention, I think it would be even worse. Because like right now, at least some of my answers are random, which gives us some chance. Somewhat. If I really will think about that, there will have no chance whatsoever.
Right, well, I think this round is going to be more to everyone's strengths here. Like I say, we're live recording, but hopefully you guys had a little look at the sheet earlier. I'm not going to say Meacher didn't do his homework, but he probably didn't.
Didn't do any homework.
For shame. No, I joke. It's only a bit of a preparation.
He creates homework for others. Why would he do his own?
You can say that again.
That's probably right.
Hey, he creates opportunities, though, as well. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful man. Right, anyway, our next round, round 3. Edmund, I think you're going to like this one. This is all yours. I mean, it was a great idea, buddy. Round 3, you know it's a shitcoin when. Okay, so there's a little bit less FOMO-y, this one, based on radio shows of old. You had that old you know you're a redneck if radio show back in the day, which was, you know, funny. We tried this a couple of weeks back without you, and it was a lot of fun, I think, to be honest. But like Crude Royal, we've kind of refined it a bit. So it was a test run before. You're glad you weren't here. It was a bit slippery, like that last bloody airdrop round I just tried. Yeah, everything's a bit experimental here. So all we're going to do, I'm going to feed you guys a line, okay? Literally, like, you know you're a redneck if. And if you can give me a funny or a truism to end the line, you know, if it making me laugh, or if I nod and agree, or if I go, I'm sure Dion will give you some points if she's paying attention. All right, nice and easy. So our first one is, you know you're a crypto Twitter addict when?
You quote Elon Musk?
Hey. Yeah, yeah.
Throughout WGI, WAGMI.
when you fall asleep and wake up checking the rate.
Be when you start creating fake Twitter accounts just to comment on your own tweets. Not that I would ever do that.
who would do such a terrible thing, eh? No, I just argue back and forth with her.
Cheers, guys.
Hey, just what are you drinking there, buddy?
Cognac.
Nice. I still have 1:30 p.m. I cannot do that.
You can see the Americans looking on like, oh, it's not 5 o'clock yet. It's way past 5 o'clock here, though, guys. So.
Excuse me. It's 22:00. I can do my cognac.
Exactly, man.
Shut up.
Hey, I ain't judging you, buddy. I think I'm three deep already, you know, and this is work. So, right. Did we have any more then? You know you're a crypto Twitter addict. If I think we had one from all of you.
Your photo has laser beams coming out of your eyes.
Boom. That's one of my answers. So, yeah. Nice. Alrighty. The other couple I had was, if you own a tungsten cube already. Oh, God, I want a tungsten cube. I hate you, crypto Twitter. Has anyone seen these things? Just cubes of tungsten. Apparently, they feel really nice in your hand. And how this started. But, yeah, she's sick of hearing me say it. I want one. You know you're a crypto Twitter addict if you miss Donald Trump a tiny little bit, just a tiny bit. He was a good thing about Twitter. Right, next one. You know you should have bought the fucking dip when
your neighbor says, I bought my new Tesla with that plane.
When Peter Schiff calls the 9th market crash in the last two.
When Peter Schiff calls 1-911.
Because he's ended up in an argument with his son.
Be careful. It's 5 o'clock. He usually sits up in his coffin around this time. So just be careful.
You've got to sleep on the gold bar somehow, though. Otherwise, you know, those little, what are they called? Hobbits, Lord of the Rings. The hobbits will come in and steal your gold, Peter. And you don't want that.
That was the most British thing you've ever said in your life.
Probably not. About the most British thing I've said today, though. So. Any more? No. All right. There's a bit of an obscure one.
If China bans something blockchain related, if Warren Buffett talks about blockchain, if your parents talk about blockchain, pretty much all these.
That's a good one. That's a good one, actually. If your parents ask you, how's your Bitcoins doing? That's a good sign. You should have bought more.
Oh, I read an article the other day. You need to get out of that industry. That would be a good time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the amount of warnings I've had. Oh, are you sure it's not just for criminals? But no, my mum's awesome. Very open-minded. But yes, the other ones I had, you know you should have bought the fucking dip when Mark Cuban flip-flops. Or you're being out-traded by a hamster. Yes, ladies and gents, Mr. Gox is still out trading.
Mr. Gox.
So what is it? I mean, yeah, I heard of the octopus back with the World Cup, which was doing all right. But Mr. Gox is on a roll.
According to Warren Buffett,
doing like, a Tamagotchi like that.
A stone can overtrade you.
I thought you were specifically talking to me then, Major. Like a stone.
No, I'm specifically talking to everyone. I mean, yeah, wait a second. You are not the host of this show. Cheers to you.
Yeah, you're so sick of us.
Hey, no, I'm just here until I can get a book deal. No, I joke. Right, number three. You know you've got 2080 BEM.
Rewind.
Are you sure you want one?
Yes, please. Oh, tequila beer, by the way. I'm not sponsored by Desperados, and I don't take sponsorship offers. I've turned down a couple this week as well, again, which is nice.
Nah.
But yeah, this week is sponsored by Desperados and Nutella. A terrible combination. Right. Question three. You know you've got 2018 bear market PTSD when... That's a good one. That,
excuse me?
Good one. Mm. So if you went through the 2018 bear market, people say you've got 2018 PTSD nowadays. There are some common indicators of 2018 PTSD.
When your ICO crashed?
Yeah. I mean, if you're still holding your crashed ICOs, I'll take that, Eugene. That's a good one. And with a mouthful of Nutella, it sounded even better.
Maybe when you tell people that you're still invested in crypto, but you actually only hold Tether.
Yes. Yep. When you move to Tether at every 5%,
which is for some people is all the time. Like the whole life, the story of their life.
Another one.
Their life on Facebook.
Yeah, that should have been one in the last one. You know, you should have bought the fucking dip when Tether prints more. So, any other PTSD signs, guys? Air market PTSD.
Well, it's something to do with video cards as well. Because, like, video cards prices going skyrocketing all the time. Like then, and crazy people buying them. You know, I did tell the story about my mining farm. Yeah, I didn't. I had a mining farm, of course, I mined some Ethereum and some shitcoins, other shitcoins and stuff like that with video cards. I bought them, like a lot of them. And they were like, I don't know, went for, I don't remember, $200 something, maybe $300 on Amazon. I just bought them. And then I stopped mining after a certain period because I didn't have time for that. And they were like sitting there in the storage for like 3 years or something. And then I found a person, and I found this young guy who said he wanted to build a computer, blah, blah, blah. And I said, by the way, I have this video cards laying around. And that was really last year. And I said, take them all, you know, sell them. Let's split the price and you will buy your whatever. And he asked me what it will go for. And I said, these are old cards, which are also were mining. So I guess you will get, you know, $50. My surprise, after 2 weeks, he comes with this pile of money to me. Literally like that big, I don't know. And he said, listen, just sell your video card. I said, what the fuck? Where did you take all this money from and who you robbed? I said, no, it's so legal. Crazy people were buying them for like crazy amount of money.
You had an insane market for secondhand Nvidia ones, wasn't it?
But those pixels bought for millions still beat that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Again, I mean, there's been a few of these, but specifically, there were a load of people who were buying second-hand old machines, stripping the video cards out of them, and then specifically listing them on eBay as mining cards. And you could literally just 5x the price on whatever crap you bought.
Like,
yeah.
Literally crazy.
Just put the word mining in it,
$600
and some idiot like me. Yeah, I mean, I had a little go. I mined a bit of Vert coin back in the day, and that's
that was great investment. What I'm saying, this was really great investment, but actually better investment than an Ethereum, for example, itself. Like seriously, like you know, I mined with them. Yeah. They returned the money several times on Ethereum mining, and then. Several times over for the old car. I mean, come on.
Well, there you go. That's the longest answer we've had so far, but definitely, you know, you've got 2018 bear market PTSD if you're considering selling your GPU cards already for a profit.
Exactly.
Nice.
But yeah, I think we got all of them there. If you flip your bull bear bias more than Mark Cuban, again, he's not the target this week, but yeah, what a pleb. And if you keep the McDonald's application form in this drawer still, just in case, just in case. Yeah, awesome. And that is, you know, it's a shitcoin win. Can we have some scores, please, Dion? Because we've still got a whole nother round to go.
Mitra and Edmund are on 11.5. Eugene and Todd are on 12.
I have to jump now. Love you all, guys. Great show.
Oh, Eugene, you're going to leave Todd to fend for his own in this last round.
I know. But I've got family related, so I got to go. Love you guys.
Enjoy, Eugene. Thanks, thank you Eugene. For joining us, my friends. Right, unfortunately, Todd. What we could do, though, I'm trying to think how much it would work.
If I meet you, you might be.
Well, if I shuffle you off into the other room.
No.
Because she doesn't actually decisive. Know the answers to this
that
one.
That was very decisive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I try and push her into stuff, but basically she punches a lot, so... We don't push
all right, I'm still going to try to win the $1 million. I'm still going for it.
We've got 1 million, never mind the shitcoin tokens, which are completely useless, up for grabs. No, they're not, but you know. Right, Crypto Innuendo is our fourth and final round, people. It's the round where usually we get a little bit hot under the collar. But today, tonight, being as it's kind of a bit of a boys' night here, and inspired by last week's Demonorwegian Torchblower, which is possibly my favourite mental image of the year, I thought we'd theme it on a celebration of the penis tonight. You know, why not? Let's celebrate our penises. So all the rude parts Excuse of me? The what? Question... well, usually I have to be quite gentle, you know, if we've got girls around. Dion knows what I'm like, though, really. Not gentle so much, but we have to be inclusive, you know. It can't all be about todgers and strange things people do with them. But yeah, like I say, all the rude parts to the one half of this question tonight will be related to your todger or something you do with it. Right. And again, Meetja, if you haven't
That's my
been
favourite topic, obviously.
I mean, I remember last time you played this game, you were in a public place, and I'm not going to tell you gently, it's got a lot worse since, buddy. We've doubled down on this, and then doubled down again, and, you know, compared to what you went through last time, that was a cakewalk, my friend. So, as an example, just to give you an example, what do you get when you mix Australian fake Toshi with a rhyming slang name for your todger? Well, you get a Craig Wright teeny weenie. Okay, nice and easy. First one, a poultry rhyming slang term for male masturbation. So a poultry term for masturbation. And the method by which private keys and, well, any kind of private data really, are kept private.
Okay. Choking your encryption?
Oh, but what's the middle bit? You missed one middle bit of the word there, Ed. Is this more of a British thing, maybe?
Choking encryption? I don't know.
Oh, you're so close, Ed. I'm going to give it to you. Choking the chicken encryption. So choking the chicken is what we say. Choke the chicken and encryption. Choking the chicken encryption. If you think that's like that's about the highest brow one we've got for this round.
Is that the hardware wallet or something?
Right, so next one. When a coin or stock hits a new highest price, it's called a 3-word answer. And what's the name for standing naked and twirling your penis round and round in a kind of rotor blade fashion? Oh, I like the hip movements then. Sorry, guys.
All-time helicopter.
Todd, I knew you came on this show for a reason, buddy. That was beautiful, my friends.
This is my era.
Oh, man, yeah. I was worried once I'd done the dance that no one would get it, but yes, beautiful. An all-time helicopter. High helicopter. Yeah, too many beers. These are way stronger than they look, ladies and gents. I thought I was having soft drinks tonight. Right, question three. The king of king of cryptocurrencies, which blazed its way to new all-time highs yesterday, and the sadomasochistic act of pain-pleasuring yourself with a twisting pepper-grinding motion.
Skin burn, Bitcoin, something burn.
Bit titty twister?
Indian burn. Indian burn.
Big titty twister, yeah. I mean, I think Ed should get points just for that as well. But yeah, boom, Todd.
No,
the correct answer is you kind of half got there, and Todd was Bitcoin Indian burn. Cockburn. Bitcoin Indian Cockburn. I'll cut all these stumbly drunk moments out of the actual edit, so don't worry, guys. Question four. Crypto people's favourite lunar phrase about making money and a quick five-knuckle shuffle in the middle of the afternoon.
Shooting your load.
Not quite.
Noon to the moon.
Noon to the... Oh, that's almost better than the actual answer, buddy.
Moon to the noon.
Oh, sort of back to front and left to right. No, I'll give it to you. It was to the moon nooner. So a quick wink in the middle of the afternoon is apparently called a nooner. Right, last one. And
if you ever want to know why it took Charles Hoskinson so goddamn long for Cardano, Cryptcoin moon to the nooner.
There you go.
Yes.
This one is slightly strange and goes out to one of my friends. If you were, and this requires a bit of imagination here, guys, so you need to get your mental images out. If you were to tuck your penis and balls between your legs, betwixt your legs, as far as they'll go, and then you bend right over and, you know, with your pants around your ankles, so you're completely naked, and show a friend or a boss at the time, Mr. This position is called the something, okay? And the other half of the word, an old school gaming company who launched a pretty unsuccessful ICO a while back, but are still kicking around, so you never know.
I'm picturing Mike Myers doing something like this.
Yeah, he probably has at some point.
Thinking something like Funfair, some old ICO gaming.
Oh, no, so think an actual computer games company who kind of failing and had an ICO for a while.
Guys need to jump off.
Oh.
All right. Sorry about that. Got another call.
You just don't want to know what this is called, do you, Mija? You don't want to imagine me bent over with my...
No, imagining is fine. Knowing how it's called, it's totally unnecessary. The picture is, you know, better than...
Can you at least give us the computer game company before you get off, buddy? Get yourself half a point.
Amigo? I don't remember one.
Oh, close with Amiga.
I don't know, but this sounds like it should be the cover art for the Whale podcast.
Not Sega.
No, Atari. You were close with Amiga, but the second part's Atari. Yeah.
All right, guys, it was a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, dudes. Right, shall we wrap this up? Any final guesses as to what it might be called? And just for reference, I didn't make this up. This is from a Ryan Reynolds movie. No, there's no shame in not knowing this, guys. But yeah, like I say, this very strange position is called the goat, apparently, because it kind of looks like a billy goat's face when you've got them. Yeah. Goatari. The Goatari. Which, it doesn't sound like the best punchline to finish on, but I mentioned a friend of mine then, so I'll tell the full story. There was an older Danish guy who used to come in with some very obscure products. So we lied to our boss and said, hey, this Danish guy's brought in some really rare fish. Do you want to come upstairs and have a look at it? And my friend Aaron was waiting in the walk-in fridge. And balls tucked between his legs and all this. And our boss had a good sense of humour. However, the Danish guy who... you know, worked with us didn't, who then took the lead in front of us. And this 65-year-old Danish guy walks into this walk-in fridge to see my friend bent over backwards, grabbing his toes, moon out, little goaty face between there going, bah! So, yeah, oh, nice one, Aaron.
That's how I asked my wife to marry me. It was a wonderful evening.
It could have gone better.
Who would
say no? Who would say no? Right, give us some final scores, Dion, and I can go and slump in a drunken corner somewhere.
Todd is on 14, and Edmund is on 15.
Ooh.
Oh, no, sorry, 14 and a half. So, got that half.
We'll take it.
Yeah, take it where you can, buddy, eh? Good game. Kind of fell apart at the end, but I think that was mostly my fault. So you guys did brilliant, though. Awesome. Oh, fucking hell. Right, thank you ever so much for coming. And this was Never Mind the Shitcoins. I've been Benjamin Bateman. These two beautiful fellas here are Edmund McCormack and Todd Van Cleve. Thank you very much, YouTube. And thank you very much to the audience, of course. Bye, everyone.
You guys.